Well, if you have been following me on Facebook, you realize that I have been high up in the Alps, way up there in Switzerland, where the air is so clean and fresh. And while I was there, I had lots of time to think about our Simply Ordinary message series that we started last Sunday. And as I thought and thought, overlooking all this gorgeous, gorgeous terrain, several questions popped into my mind. And so I'd like to ask those questions to you right now. So here goes. Number one, do you think it's impossible for you or me to be used by God in an extraordinary way? Do you think it's impossible that God can use you in an extraordinary way? How many say yes? Oh, how many say no? And some say nothing. Okay, that's all right. I'm going to wake you up in a minute. Okay, number two, which I thought about, have you ever thought that you're unworthy, a failure, broken, or your current circumstances will inhibit God's work in your life? Ooh, I have to raise my hand on that one. Anybody else? Okay. Or here's another one. Has your mind ever told you that you're too old, too young, too educated, too rich, and successful to make a difference? Or one more. Do you think your spiritual gifts, if you know them, are inadequate or not numerous enough to change the world? Goodness, there is so much to think about. Well, if you said yes in your mind to any of the above, I invite you to think again this morning, because God takes delight in using common, ordinary people like you and me to build up His kingdom here on earth. That's the whole story of the Bible. That's what our scripture just affirmed. Peter and John were walking towards the temple, and there by the gate called Beautiful was a man whose family brought him there every single morning to beg. He could not walk. It's good to know that there was somebody there that loved him and helped bring him to the gate. And as Peter and John walked by, he begged, and they said, "Look at us." And he did. And then Peter said, "By the power of Jesus Christ, rise and walk." And he helped him up. And he started leaping and dancing and went into the temple. And let me tell you, that caused a big ruckus because the people did not know what to think. The high priest, all of the people there took note, as our scripture said, that these were common, ordinary men who had just worked a big miracle. Gosh, that kind of throws a lot of our yeses down the mountain, doesn't it? They were common, ordinary people that just worked a huge miracle. But Old Testament Peter and John aren't the only characters that God used for His own purposes. If we go back in time, you're going to see how many of them He actually did. As I read their names, I want you to see if you can identify with any of them. Abraham was old. Elijah was suicidal. Joseph was abused. Job went bankrupt. And Moses had a speech problem. Gideon was afraid. Samson was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. And the Samaritan woman was divorced. Noah got drunk. Jeremiah was young, Jacob was a cheater, and David was a murderer. Jonah ran from God, and Naomi was a widow. Peter denied Christ three times. Martha worried all the time. Zacchaeus was little and money hungry. The disciples fell asleep while praying. And Paul persecuted Christians before he actually became one. Okay, I know what you're thinking right now. You're probably thinking, oh my gosh, those are old people. They died a long time ago. We know the stories, and we live in the modern world. Okay, let's look at the modern world. I'm pretty sure you know the story of Mother Teresa. She lived and died in the 19th century. At the age of 12, she began to have these deep feelings of compassion for the poor. You know the rest of the story. She went on to become a nun, and with the Sisters of Charity, they were on a mission to help the dying in Calcutta. One thing that struck me about Mother Teresa is she never went after the powerful, influential leaders who caused the poverty. Not one time. You know what her thought was? I'm going to leave them alone and let them face God. I'm going to do what He wants me to do. And she did. With a double dose of compassion, she held the dying, disease-riddled men, women, and children who lived in the gutters. And right before they died, she whispered in their ears. I can almost hear her saying, Jesus loves you, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Okay, she's really well known. Here's one that is not so well known. Sir Nicholas Winton. You know, he's my hero. He was a Jewish man who died 3 years ago at the age of 106. Using his sharp intellect, his compassion, money, and organizational skills, he rescued over 669 Czech children and saved them from certain death under the Nazi invaders. He found homes for them in England and Sweden, and they went on to grow up and have children, and those children were allowed to live because of his actions. Well, he was extremely humble, and no one knew, including his wife, what he had done, until she went up in their attic and found a briefcase filled with all the children's names. Today, thousands upon thousands of descendants owe their lives to the actions of Sir Nicholas Winton. Mother Teresa held death. Sir Nicholas Winton held life. One was Catholic, one was Jewish, one was rich, one was poor. And God used both of them for His glory. Are you not convinced yet? Well, let's bring it right back into this church and look at some people that are making a big difference right now, right here at First Methodist Houston. By the way, they don't come here just to worship and go to Sunday school. They've already figured out what God's plan in their lives happened to be, and they're acting on it right now. Many of you will remember Amos Brown, one of our former guards. He still worships here. You can always see him because he's dressed immaculately in one of his beautiful suits. But did you know that he has a home for homeless men that he built in his neighborhood, and he's helping them get on their feet? Did you know that he is teaching classes to African-American young men and women, and he's teaching them all about manners? He's doing the financial peace course. He is doing anything that will help those young men and women become successful. He is amazing. He knows exactly what God wants him to do. His community is being changed by the actions of one man. Or there's Kristen Jones. I know you all know her. And yes, she is a staff person, but that doesn't make any difference with what she has done. She has already written a children's book called Mommy, What is Salvation? And it has been translated into 4 or 5 languages and has gone all over the world. I even had it made into a coloring book and took it with me to Haiti. And I watched the men and women color every single page of the story of salvation. Kristen said, "You better take lots of brown crayons with you because they're going to relate to the brown crayons because of the color of their skin." Was she ever wrong? All of them wanted red crayons. They wanted to color the very heart of Jesus as they began to look through the books. I can just imagine the countless people that have read that book or colored in it, and that was their first very introduction to the story of salvation. And then there's Ward Schmidt, who is sitting right back there. I've talked about him before. One man, one computer, sharing the love of Jesus all over the world. I can go on and on and on because there's so many stories here. But let's face the facts. If God has chosen to work through common, ordinary people like you and me, then it's our job to, 1, accept that, 2, offer it up to Him, and allow ourselves to become part of His plan. There are absolutely no excuses that you can come up with. It doesn't make any difference at all what you say to the person next to you, a spouse. Nothing will inhibit His work in you. As a matter of fact, if you're thinking, "My life circumstances are so messed up right now, there is no way that God can work with me." Think again. That's when He works the best. That's when He sets up a trust relationship with you that will carry you and set a foundation that will allow you to use your gifts. I can tell all of you that everything bad that has happened in my life was simply a building ground, a training ground for what I'm doing now. I look back and I see it clearly. God was working with me, preparing me. He's still preparing me to do things that He wants me to do. I've accepted it. I've offered it up to Him. And I have said, "Take everything that has happened in my life and use it for Your glory." I even offered it up again when I was high up in the mountains where I felt very, very close to Him. As you begin to understand the significance of how God uses ordinary people like you and me, it's important that you know, 1, your natural talents and your spiritual gifts. So listen carefully. A natural talent is given to you at birth. A spiritual gift was given to you when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Natural is genetic. Spiritual gifts come from God when you become a Christian. So natural gifts would be genetic. My mom and both my grandmothers loved to cook and bake. I grew up with that, and that happens to be one of my talents. I'm not as good as Andy because he's a gourmet chef, but that is one of my talents. I love to bake cakes. I love to share them with people. And I love to trade recipes. On the other hand, spiritual gifts are given by God and are to be used by the common good. They will blossom and increase as they help build up the family of God. Some will rise to the surface when you least expect it. And God can and does use both a natural talent and a spiritual gift to do something wonderful. Dr. Terry Morris is on a cruise ship this morning, but all of you all know he loves music. Although he never knew his father, somebody in that family had to have musical talent because it was passed on down to Terry. One of the neat things about it is some mentors encircled Terry and helped him realize that natural talent. And when Terry gave his life to Jesus, he had this natural talent, and then God gave him the spiritual gifts. I'm one of his friends. I see what they are. He has the gifts of leadership and teaching, and he uses his natural talents and his spiritual gifts all week long to make sure that our worship on Sunday is just fantastic and peaceful. It's the same thing for our sewing ladies. So many of them have the natural gift of sewing, and many of them have been given the spiritual gift of compassion. And so they take those two things and they make clothes for the naked children across the world. I help transport those clothes, and I know the joy on the faces as the children get a brand new set of clothes. Although both are important, natural and spiritual, the spiritual gifts are the most important because God has given them to us for a special purpose. How many of you are aware of your natural talents? I had to sit down and think about it. I don't think I have all that many natural talents. How many of you know your spiritual gifts? If you don't know your spiritual gifts, I want you to go home today and get on the computer and go to fmhouston.com. Look under Ministries and Programs and click on Volunteers. At the very bottom of the page is an assessment from the United Methodist Church. I invite you to take it today and get an idea of how God is using you or wants to use you in the grand scheme of everything. Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8 confirms everything about spiritual gifts. And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us each exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of your faith. In service, add it in his serving. Or he who teaches in his or her teaching. Or he who exhorts or preaches or brings the word of God in his or her exhortation. He who gives with liberality. There are people here that's their gift. Their gift is of giving and giving. And he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Once you have listed your natural talents and you look online and you know your spiritual gifts, you're going to get an idea of how God may be using you or wants to use you in the future. I have taken those spiritual inventories over and over, And as I take them, I notice that some of my gifts will often rise to the top depending on what God has me do. I took it Friday, and compassion and servanthood were at the top. When I took it the last time, it was administration and leadership. So God is getting ready to do something different with me because He has elevated compassion and servanthood to the top. I think I know what He's up to. Right now, in my heart and mind, I know that God is trying to get me to write some books for children so that they will not be afraid to be missionaries or to work in agencies that help people. How I know this is because I saw something in Haiti one day, and after I saw it, God said, "There is a reason I showed that to you." It was a 3-year-old child on the corner after an earthquake. She was hunched down. She was totally disheveled, and all she had was a basket. She was one of the 1 million orphans that were left over right after that earthquake. So God put it in my mind that I needed to do something with that. And then, as you know, I have had the absolute joy of traveling a lot across the world. And God let me know that these were blessings, but He let it happen for a reason. He wants me to use those trips for His glory and for the greater good. And even though I know what I'm supposed to do and I'm a little bit apprehensive about getting started, I plan to honor that and let God use me the way He wants to use me in this third part of my life. Scripture tells us over and over and over, do not be afraid, and God will lead us wherever we go. So at some point, you've got to get this figured out. You have got to list your natural talents. You have got to figure out your spiritual gifts, and then you need to get busy. Listen carefully as other Christians try to tell you what they think your spiritual gifts are. Often, other people can see them in us. And you may think, oh my gosh, Ann, what I will do is so small. Or it might be so huge you don't even know what to do with it. But here's the last thing. It all interconnects. It all interconnects. So think of billions and billions and billions of puzzle pieces that are being put together, and God is putting the puzzle together using all of us. So each time that we do something with our natural gifts and our spiritual gifts, God takes the puzzle piece and He adds it to the big picture, and that big picture is of a redeemed world. It's a beautiful picture. Don't be surprised if God takes your piece as you hold a starving child or feed a starving child, and it will connect with Mother Teresa's. Or don't be surprised if you do something with children or other people, that God will place it right with Sir Nicholas Winton's. Or maybe you share your faith and you want to tell others about how Jesus came in your life, and God will take it and connect it to Paul's. What is interesting is that puzzle cannot be finished until each and every one of us do our part. You find out what the gifts are, you accept them, you offer them up to the Lord, and you realize that this whole big picture interconnects. John, I'm going to ask you to come up because we're going to end this in a little bit different way. God is never going to give up on you. You have no excuses. You can say, I'm sick. No excuse. I'm too old. No excuse. There is nothing that you have that God cannot work through. There is a beautiful hymn, and I'm going to ask you to stand right now. It's going to be on the screen, and it's going to be our prayer. We'll sing it, and then I'll end with the Lord's Prayer, and we will move on with our scripture. To be one, too. Let's pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.